In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For the past week, Tom and I have been lounging on a ship and on beaches where the weather has been about 84 degrees on average. The sights included a turquoise ocean to a deep blue sea, blue skies, rainbows, lush green jungles, and miles of stars. The time was well wasted and enjoyed, and I have to confess there was a bit of shock when we docked in Fort Lauderdale on Friday, and I checked the temperatures here at home and saw that at that moment the temperature in Anniston was 21 degrees. I had moved so easily into balmy summer days. It was hard to remember that it was still winter. And I had so boldly proclaimed more than one occasion recently that I love seasons, all of them. And I do. But moving back and forth from summer to winter so quickly has messed with my sense of timing. Poinsettias, when it's 85 degrees outside, just don't gel in my mind. So I overlooked them on the ship and focused on the orchids that were everywhere. It was easy for me to let go of Christmas and move on to other things. Fun and the sun, for example. Beaches and books. And maybe you've moved on too. Maybe Christmas is long gone with its trim and tinsel and packages and caroling. But then we come here, and Christmas is not gone at all. It is the 12th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is Epiphany. And so we have these wise men coming from the east to see this new king that has been announced by a star. The story, as we have it told today, has lots of twists and turns and intrigue. Three wise men, astrologers, astronomers, scientists from the east, arrive in Jerusalem, the territory of Herod. And they begin talking about this new king that has been born, and folks get nervous, and they start talking. There are foreigners here, and they look official, and they're telling us about a new king. What is this new king? It doesn't take long for this news to reach the current king, Herod, who is known to be a bit unstable and very paranoid and worried about losing his throne. Herod is so paranoid and unstable that later he will kill both of his own sons because he's concerned that they will usurp his power. And so given that information, it's not surprising that the whole of the king's guard is put on full alert to find out more about the supposed new king. So who does Herod call in but the chief priests and scribes? They'll know about this one born to rule over their people and cause me to lose my position of power, thinks Herod. And yes, they do know. But they are also in positions of power and security, so they want to keep Herod happy. The chief priests and the scribes are perfectly happy with the arrangement they have. They have a vested interest in keeping Herod happy and maintaining the status quo. So they really don't want to know about this one that the prophets spoke. They really don't want this newborn king to cause them any problems. They know the prediction, and they believe what the prophets said to be true, but they really want to keep peace and make sure that this new supposed king doesn't ruffle Herod's feathers or cause him to scrutinize their day-to-day activities. This new king would cause so many problems for so many people. Herod wants to know more, so he secretly calls for the wise men. He wouldn't want anyone to know that he's talking to these strangers, these foreign men who take off for distant lands following unusual astronomical phenomena. Herod, in his insecure arrogance, sends the wise men to find the child, demanding that they report back to him what they discover. Herod is so accustomed to giving orders and using people that he believes that these wise ones from the east will do exactly as he says. The image comes to mind of Herod in this scene as some sort of mob boss sending out his men, his wise guys, to do a job. And it seems as though that Herod thinks that he has a kind of absolute power, that he can send anyone to do his bidding without question. In his mind, he's taken the place of God. He's the one calling all the shots. He's the one in charge. Thankfully, these are wise men and not wise guys. They will not be so easily manipulated by a pitiful king. The wise men say nothing to Herod. They say nothing ever. They, like Joseph, are forever mute in history. Perhaps that's a character trait of the wise. Few or no words. They leave the presence of this tyrant and follow the light that will lead them to the king that they truly seek. Another one without words. An infant in the arms of his mother. They bow down in full knowledge that what they sought was found. Not in a grand palace, but in a stable, a barn, the home of animals. And not on a throne, but in a manger, a feeding trough for farm animals. The juxtaposition between the would-be king, the paranoid tyrant, and the real king, a vulnerable infant, is chilling. The world yells foul to this story. Not real, can't be true. The one in office is a legitimate king. An infant is no king. How can he be? He can't rule anything. He has no power. He can't even give voice to his thoughts if he even has any thoughts. What we encounter in this story is the clash of power and vulnerability, insecurity and assurance, hate and fear versus love and trust. Herod, the chief priests and scribes, are entrenched, and they like it that way. At the same time, however, they're insecure. Herod lives in constant fear that his place will be taken, that he will no longer be in power. The chief priests and scribes seem to have that same insecurity about their future. What if someone else comes in and takes our place? And what if they don't do it the way we know it's supposed to be done? What if I'm not relevant or needed, or my opinion is not highly valued, or my position known and appreciated? These are the questions of the powerful but insecure. The questions that cause a loss of sleep and hair, and cause those asking these questions to live in constant fear and stress. The other side of this picture is the trusting and faithful wise man, the vulnerable infant and his loving and nurturing mother. One half of this picture is frantic and filled with stress, and the other is calm and overwhelmed by joy, as Matthew describes the emotions of the wise men when they find their newborn king. And so then the question for us today is, where do you find yourself in this story? Is there a character that most aptly fits for you? And is that a good fit? Or is there a change of attitude that's needed? Does this infant king make you very uncomfortable because he requires something of you? Or does he bring you great joy because of the love that is offered? Are you filled with anxiety or with anticipation when encountering Christ? Where are you in this story? And where do you want to be?